Today we're reading from Canto 7, Chapter 15, Text 72. I'll just read it, okay. Aham cha gayam tad vidvan strivi pari vrito gataha gyatva vishvasri jastan me Hela nam se pur ojasa Yahi tvam sudratam ashu Nashta shri krita helena Aham, I myself, cha, and gayan, singing the glories of other demigods rather than those of the Lord. Tat vidvan, knowing very well the art of singing. Stribi, by women. Parivrita, being surrounded. Gataha, went there. Gyatva, knowing well. Vishvasrijaha, the Prajapatis, to whom the management of universal affairs was entrusted. Tat, that. Tat, the attitude of my singing. May, my. Helanam, negligence. Shepu, cursed. Ojasa, with great force. Yahi, become. Tvam, you. Sudratam, esudra. Ashu, immediately. Nashta, devoid of. Shri, beauty. Krita helanam, because of transgressing the etiquette. Translation. Narada Muni continued, being invited to that festival, I also joined, and surrounded by women, I began musically singing the glories of the demigods. Because of this, the Prajapatis, the great demigods in charge of the affairs of the universe, forcefully cursed me with these words. Because you have committed an offense, may you immediately become a sudra devoid of beauty. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As far as kirtan is concerned, the shastras say, Shravanam kirtanam Vishnu. One should chant the glories of the Supreme Lord and the holy name of the Supreme Lord. This is clearly stated, Shravanam kirtanam Vishnu. One should chant about and glorify Lord Vishnu, not any demigod. Unfortunately, there are foolish persons who invent some process of kirtan on the basis of a demigod's name. This is an offense. Kirtan means glorifying the Supreme Lord, not any demigod. Sometimes, people invent Kali kirtan or Shiv kirtan. And even big sannyasis in the Mayavad school say that one may chant any name and still get the same result. But here we find that millions and millions of years ago, when Narada Muni was a Gandharva, he neglected the order to glorify the Lord. And being mad in the association of women, he began to chant otherwise. Thus he was cursed to become a sudra. His first offense was that he went to join the Sankirtan party in the company of lusty women. And another offense was that he considered ordinary songs like cinema songs and other such songs to be equal to Sankirtan. For this offense, he was punished with becoming a sudra. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Viranta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine. This seventh canto, in summary, it's the answer to two questions that Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadev Goswami. First, it appeared from the descriptions that Sukadev Goswami was giving in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the Lord is partial to his devotees. And Parikshit Maharaj, because he understood Suridam Sarvabhuteshu, that the Lord is, he's the well-wisher of all living entities, why does it appear that he's more affectionate to the devotees or the demigods than to the demons? So this question was answered by Sukadev Goswami by describing how the two gatekeepers of the Lord were cursed because of their helanam. Helanam means offense or negligence. They had offended the four Kumaras, and as a result of that, they came to the material world and took three births as demons. The first two births were Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. The second two births were Ravana and Kumbhakarna. And now, being discussed, is the end of Dwarpa Yuga. The last two births were Shishupal and Dantavakra. So Yudhisthira Maharaj, he saw that Shishupal was killed by Krishna after having committed 100 offenses to the Supreme Lord. Parikshit Maharaj, he was curious that how is it that a demon such as Shishupal, who had offended the Lord so many times, was able to attain Sayujya Mukti. So Sukadev Goswami, he explained how because the Lord is not affected by the dualities of the material nature, he doesn't see friend or enemy, good or bad, pious or impious. He wants the benefit of all living entities, and therefore whatever he does is for their benefit. So by killing Shishupal, because Shishupal was always absorbed in thinking of the Lord, even in an envious manner, he was Krishna conscious in a negative way, he attained liberation. So then, Narada Muni, Yudhisthira Maharaj, Narada Muni then went on to explain the incarnation of the Lord as Nrisimhadev in the seventh canto and how he favored his devotee Prahlad and killed the great demon Hiranyakashipu. When Yudhisthira Maharaj heard this description from Narada Muni about the killing of the great demon who had received benedictions from Brahma, he was very pleased and appreciated very much the character of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, he was a disciple of Narada Muni. Although he had never met Narada Muni, Narada Muni had instructed him while Prahlad was still in the womb of his mother. Now, Narada Muni was speaking in this seventh canto to Yudhisthira Maharaj. Narada Muni told Yudhisthira Maharaj that Prahlad Maharaj was a great devotee of the Lord, but actually, you have an even higher distinction because the Supreme Lord, he's always living in your house. And great sages and saints, they come to see him. So you, the Pandavas, are even greater and more glorious than Prahlad Maharaj. Then Narada Muni went on to describe the different duties according to Sanatana Dharma. Ultimately, he concluded by saying that the highest service one can render is to serve the spiritual master, because the spiritual master is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And anyone who thinks that the spiritual master is an ordinary living entity He commits offense and he won't be able to make spiritual advancement. So Narada Muni, at this point, in this chapter, he's explaining to Yudhisthira Maharaj how he had once committed an offense. If we go back even further, there's a Purana called Brahma Vaivarta Purana. In there, there's a, back in history, a further description of how this pastime occurred. Because we always hear, from the first canto even, Narada Muni gives the same description to his disciple Srila Vyasadeva. He said that he was cursed as Upabardhana, the Gandharva, to become a Sudra. But how did he become a Gandharva? So this is explained in Brahma Vaivarta Purana. Originally, Narada Muni was one of the mental sons of Brahmaji. And Brahmaji, because it was his duty to populate the universe, he instructed all of his sons to marry and have children. Now Narada Muni, his elder brothers were the four Kumaras. So Narada Muni objected. He said, my elder brothers, they didn't follow your instruction. They wanted to be ascetic brahmacharis. And I also want to be an ascetic brahmachari. So why are you compelling me to marry and have children? Because this grihastha life is the dark well of material existence. Because of grihastha life, of course, grihastha life is also recommended within the varnashram system, but when one becomes attached in grihastha life, it's very difficult to make spiritual advancement. And sometimes for millions and millions of births, one must rotate in the cycle of samsara. So when Brahmaji heard Narada speaking like that to him, because Narada was his son, Brahmaji became angry. Just as when the four Kumaras refused to accept his order, he also became angry, and from his forehead came Rudra, Lord Shiva. But this time, when Lord Brahma became angry, he decided to curse his son, Narada. And he said, you will become a Gandharva, and you will be surrounded by many beautiful women, and you will forget all about spiritual life and commit offense. And because of this offense, you will have to take another birth as a Sudra and lose all of your beauty. And then in that birth, you'll be able to become liberated. And in the next birth, you'll be able to come back and reinstate yourself as Narada, my son. So this was the curse of a father upon his son. Now Narada Muni, he felt that he hadn't committed an offense. So as father and son, they sometimes argue back and forth. Narada Muni said, what offense have I committed? I simply want to stay as brahmachari. So because you have falsely cursed me because I didn't actually commit any offense, I will now counter curse you. And he cursed Brahma that for 3 millennia, for 3 kalpas, he wouldn't be worshipped. So soon after, Narada, he took birth as a Gandharva. And just as the curse was given, he was surrounded by beautiful women. He had 50 wives, and he was very expert in enjoying sensual pleasure with his many wives, and they followed him wherever he went. And he was also very popular with all the beautiful Gandharva women on his planet and in his city. So one time, the Prajapatis were having a Sankirtan Yajna, just like we have our Kirtan Melas. And so many people come to take part in the Kirtan Mela. Now we know that kirtan means sankirtan, glorification of the Supreme Lord. But Upabardhan, being intoxicated in the association of women, when he came to that sankirtan mela, he was singing songs other than the glorification of the Supreme Lord. And therefore the Prajapatis, headed by Brahma, cursed him that he would have to become a Sudra. So he took birth as a Sudra in a very humble situation. His mother lived in an ashram and she served the Brahmins there. And the Brahmins, because she served them, his young son, he was able to also render service to these Brahmins, these Bhaktivedantas. Now, one time, this was 1974, Srila Prabhupada was here just at this time. It was the beginning of Chaturmas, and Prabhupada had been traveling all over the world. The temple wasn't built yet. It was still under construction. So we had our classes. I think Smarahari, he was the only person who was here then. Anybody else came in 1974? Only Smarahari was here. He was our temple commander. So in those days, we had our Srimad Bhagavatam classes with Srila Prabhupada in his room. And he would sit at his desk, and we would all sit there and listen to him. And because it was the beginning of Chaturmas, Prabhupada was explaining to us, because the Chaitanya Charitamrita hadn't been printed yet, we were all ignorant fools, we knew nothing but Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was explaining to us, what is Chaturmas? Because today is officially the first day of Chaturmas. So he explained this story of Narada Muni. When he took birth as a Sudra, it so happened that according to the rules of Chaturmas, the saintly devotees, they choose a holy place to live for those 4 months. You can see that also in the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. During the 4 months of Chaturmas, he stayed in Srirangam. At that time, he liberated the entire family of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, including his uncle, his father, everyone. And that is the reason why the pure devotees choose to stay in a holy place. Because the residents of that holy place, they get to associate with the pure devotees and render service to them. So these Bhaktivedantas, they happened to come and stay in the ashram where Narada and his mother were living. And Narada Muni, being a little boy, he wasn't frivolous. He didn't like sports. He didn't like to go and play and do naughty things like other boys did. He served these Bhaktivedantas. This is how Prabhupada explained it. And he used to wash their clothes and sit and listen to them, do whatever he could for them, as little children sometimes like to do. And he would listen to them and hear the glories of Sri Krishna and hear Sankirtan from them, Kirtan from them. He was very attracted to all of their activities, and his mind became purified by hearing them. And one time, he took their permission, after cleaning their plates, after they had taken prasadam, he took some maha prasadam, and he ate that. Now, Prabhupada explained that a disease is spread by contaminated foodstuffs, usually. If you eat something that's contaminated with that disease, then you get sick. So if you take the contaminated foodstuffs, and what type of contamination is that? The foodstuffs of a pure devotee is contaminated with pure love for Krishna. So if you happen to get that type of contaminated foodstuffs, you also get their disease, that disease of loving Krishna. So that's what happened to this little boy. During Chaturmas, he got contaminated by the pure devotees, and he fell in love with Krishna. And he just wanted to serve these pure devotees. So these Bhaktivedantas, at the end of Chaturmas, it was time for them to travel and preach again. And this little boy, he wanted to go with them. They very mercifully actually initiated him into the chanting of the holy name at that time, even though he wasn't qualified in any way other than his pure desire to serve them. And because of that initiation into chanting Krishna's name, when they left, he continued to chant the holy name of the Lord. Soon after his mother died, he had no one in the world, so he started to travel and wander around all over the world. He was sitting under a tree one day and meditating on the holy names of the Lord, chanting, and he wasn't interested in eating, he wasn't interested in anything, just like any pure devotee. For instance, during Chaturmas, in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, it's recommended that we perform many austerities to give up the four animalistic activities of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. There are many restrictions. And people who don't yet have the affection or the attachment to chanting the holy name, they externally try to follow all of these restrictions. Why? Sometimes it's for pride, sometimes it's to get something. But the actual purpose is because a pure devotee, he naturally follows all these rules and regulations because he's fully absorbed in chanting the holy name. Now, we're recommended to increase our chanting. Prabhupada very much simplified at that time our observance of the Chaturmas. He said there are 4 months, and during these 4 months, each month, you perform one austerity. And he wanted everyone to perform these austerities, whether they were grihasthas, brahmacharis, sannyasis. And that is the first month you don't eat any green vegetables, green leafy vegetables, called spinach in English. In the second month, you don't take dahi. In the third month, you don't drink milk. And in the fourth month, you don't take non-veg or food that has high protein, because high protein is also considered non-veg, such as urad dal. So Prabhupada, being the most merciful spiritual master, he simplified all the rules and regulations of Chaturmas for us by giving us those 4 regulative dietary principles. At the end of Chaturmas, hopefully, we become purified enough, we can observe during the Kartik Mas something called Urjavrat. So the devotees, they didn't know what Urjavrat was. And Prabhupada explained to them, Urjavrat means you chant Hare Krishna 24 hours. No eating, no sleeping, just chant Hare Krishna. Can you do it? So of course the devotees said, no, Prabhupada, I can't do it. So this is the culmination of observing Chaturmas. Not that we have to perform huge austerities, inflicting so much pain upon ourselves, observing silence, doing so many things simply for some benefit. We should increase our chanting of Hare Krishna. We should increase our preaching, because when one is enlightened with love of Godhead, there are 3 basic principles for studying all the Vedas. That is Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So when we understand our relationship with Krishna, and when we understand by the instructions of the spiritual master how to serve Krishna, and finally, when we develop some drop of love for Krishna, then we don't keep that to ourselves. We preach all over the world. Now here in Vrindavan, we have a special opportunity. We don't have to go all over the world. The whole world comes to us. So we have to be very attentive that anyone who comes in the gates of our temple, we can preach to them about the glories of Krishna and chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada inaugurated the 24-hour Sankirtan program here in our temple. He wanted so many activities to go on. He wanted this temple to be a place of education so that anyone who came here, they could sit and hear about the glories of Krishna, either the chanting of his holy name or the lectures. He would have the English class in the morning, just as we're doing. And then here in the temple, he would have the Hindi class in Bhagavad Gita, just as we're doing. So we're following in the footsteps, as Prabhupada wanted, because our management is very strong and pure. So they're always trying to follow Prabhupada's instructions here. So here during Chaturmas, we all need to try our best to increase our chanting of Hare Krishna. Narada Muni, he's explaining to Yudhisthira Maharaj, as he had previously explained to his disciple Vedavyas, that Just because I was a young boy, born in a Sudra family, I didn't even know who my father was. Because I associated with the pure Bhaktivedantas, I was able to attain spiritual perfection in one life and become reinstated in my position as I am now as Narada Muni. I received the blessing from the Supreme Lord that I could travel all over the universe and proclaim the glories with my Veena and the chanting of Hare Krishna to all the living entities. That's why Narada Muni, he has disciples on all planets, from the highest planet down to the lowest planet. He's always traveling, looking for someone who's ready to receive the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So Narada Muni is our line of disciplic succession. We're most fortunate, from Brahma, then Narada, then Vedavyas, coming down to our spiritual master today. Every day, I don't know how many of you attend, but every day we chant the Guru Vastakam to Srila Prabhupada in his samadhi before the main Mangalarti. In the Guru Vastakam, the last sloka is Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasadat Yasya Prasadana Gati Kutopi. That without the mercy of the spiritual master, we cannot make any spiritual advancement. So when Prabhupada was sitting in his room that morning and giving Bhagavatam class and instructing us about Narada Muni and how he attained his perfection simply by rendering menial service to the Bhaktivedantas, he advised all of us that now you're in the holy place of Vrindavan, now is Chaturmas, now you have the opportunity to render menial service to the pure devotees. He said, anything you can do during this Chaturmas will help you to become purified. Now, it so happened at that time, just by chance, like we see now also, by chance, one young boy, he found Vrindavan, and he decided to come visit here. He couldn't even speak English. He was just a young student. He had taken some time off from his studies. He was a medical student, and he wanted to come and see Vrindavan. So he arrived here just at that time, and because he could only speak French, the French devotees, they engaged him in some menial service. They had him, of course you have to remember in those days, we had no running water, we had practically no electricity, the bathrooms were non-existent, it was very austere living here. So, for Prabhupada, we used to wash his pots and his plates, everything. We had no soap also, by the way. So, we just used Brajraj and some rope tied up. And in Prabhupada's garden, we used to wash his pots. So, being the cook, being taking care of Prabhupada's house, I needed help. So, they had this young boy wash Prabhupada's pots out there in the garden. We used to have to bring the water here from the well, and in that way we would do Prabhupada's service. I would be engaged in bringing the water, and the young boy would sit there and wash the pots. Now the young boy, he didn't know what he was doing. He didn't speak a word of English. He was just doing what the devotees asked him to do, washing the pots. So he was doing exactly what Srila Prabhupada recommended during Chaturmas. He was rendering menial service to a pure devotee. Now, when he left Vrindavan, he went back to France. He continued in his studies. He became a doctor. And he and his entire family became initiated devotees and disciples of Srila Prabhupada. He stayed and preached in France. He was initiated by Srila Prabhupada. His name is Gopaswami. And the last time he visited here, because I remember him as a little boy, I said, how are you doing? How's your devotional service? Have you taken sannyas yet? You know, all the usual questions when you see someone you haven't seen for so many years. He said, oh, guess what? They made me into a guru. I'm a guru now, and I have disciples. So this is the effect of rendering menial service to a pure devotee during Chaturmas. You don't even have to understand what you're doing. And here we are in the holiest of holy places, Sri Vrindavan Dham, in the best time, Chaturmas. So we should look for a wonderful menial service that we can perform for Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Maharaj and all of the pure devotees who live here. And that way, hopefully, we'll become purified, just as Narada Muni did, just as Gopaswami did. And not that we're aspiring to become, no one here, I believe, is aspiring to become a guru, but at least we'll develop our pure love for Krishna, just as all the great devotees have done by serving their Guru Maharaj. Now, it may be questioned if the holy name can purify anything by its potency, what is the necessity to take initiation? All I have to do is chant Hare Krishna. Well, according to Sanatana Goswami, initiation is essential. One must seek out a pure devotee and serve his lotus feet and inquire from him submissively. Just as Pariksha Maharaj, he was the grandson of Arjun. He was personally saved by the Supreme Lord while he was still in the womb. He had darshan of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Still, he accepted a spiritual master and heard from him submissively and inquired from him submissively. So this entire Srimad Bhagavatam, 18,000 slokas, is simply the conversation of a spiritual master and his submissive disciple. When the spiritual master sees that the disciple is chanting Hare Krishna very nicely and avoiding the 10 offenses, and he has a service attitude to the guru, then he decides to initiate that person. So first initiation, that's practicing. When you receive the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we're practicing for our real initiation when we receive mantras from our spiritual master. That's second initiation. And then when we become perfected and we're able to give up all of the desires of the body and we understand that our whole life should be dedicated to the service of our spiritual master, then we take third initiation, which is sannyas initiation. Now, we've heard in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Narada Muni, while he was traveling once, his brother Daksha, he took the instructions of his father very seriously, and he had many thousands and thousands of children to populate the universe. He had, at one time, he had 10,000 sons, the Haryashvas, and he sent them, because he was following the Varnashram system, he sent them to do tapasya at a sacred place and to associate with the pure devotees. Now Narada Muni, he happened to meet these Haryashvas and he convinced them by preaching to them that they should follow the instructions of their real father, who's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and give up their temporary father, Daksha, and devote their whole life to serving the lotus feet of the Lord. So the Haryashvas, they never returned home. And Daksha was very angry about this. So Daksha, he decided to have another 1,000 sons, the Salasvas. And he sent them again to the same place. And again, Narada Muni was waiting for them. And he preached to them to follow their brothers, their elder brothers, give up everything, and simply devote their life to serving Krishna. So Daksha also lost his 1,000 sons. By this time, Daksha was so bereaved, having lost all of his sons and not being able to carry out the instructions of his father. When Narada Muni came to tell him that the sons are now gone, Daksha cursed him. Daksha said, "You are doing violence. Without understanding the miseries of grihastha life, how can one give it up?" This is Daksha's philosophy. He said, first you have to suffer. And then when you understand how miserable Grihastha life is, then you never want to take part again in Grihastha activities. So actually, the renunciation of my sons was false, because you never gave them a chance to enter into Grihastha life and suffer. So Daksha was so angry with Narada Muni. He says, because you have committed this great offense to me by taking away my sons, I curse you that you can never stay in one place at any given time, at any time. You must always be traveling. So Narada Muni, he of course accepted that curse. He saw it as a blessing. And therefore, he was always traveling and preaching. Now, because we're in that disciplic succession of Narada Muni, that curse has come down to us. And Srila Prabhupada, he explained to us that because he took away the sons and daughters of so many people, those parents have now cursed him in the same way that Daksha cursed Narada Muni. So for that reason, Srila Prabhupada was constantly traveling. Although he had so many beautiful rooms and he had his house here in Vrindavan, he couldn't live in any of them. He was always moving and traveling and preaching. So he explained to us that now I'm an old man. Now I just want to translate. I still have so many cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam to translate. So I want you, my disciples, to accept this curse, and you travel and preach all over the world, and let me sit and translate. So we, as the followers of Srila Prabhupada, and as his disciples did, we have accepted that curse from Srila Prabhupada, coming down from Narada Muni, and our duty is to travel and preach, or if we're living here as residents of Vrindavan, to welcome all of the people who are coming here and help them become Krishna conscious. In this Chaturmas time, we can increase our chanting, we can increase our preaching, and try to help people by engaging them in some type of menial devotional service. That'll be a benefit for us, because we'll become dear to our spiritual master, and that'll be a great benefit to those devotees. So if there are any questions,
yes, Prabhu.
The next day, Shishupala was committing so many offenses against Krishna that he achieved liberation. And Narada Muni was making a mistake of glorifying demigods and Sananda women. And it was said he was cursed for that, but it seemed like benedicted by taking birth and having the opportunity to serve the Mahabharata, he actually achieved a blessing. So how are we to understand that what they're saying, that it's offensive to glorify the demigods or do different things which are not within the Vedic literature, but it seems that the results of those activities ended up being benedictions for those people who committed the crime?
That's exactly why Narada Muni and Sukadeva Goswami is telling this story, because he's explaining to Pariksha Maharaj that whether it's a curse or whether it's a blessing, both are meant for the upliftment of the living entity. So this word Helanam comes in many, many places all over in the pastimes of the Srimad Bhagavatam. For instance, Helanam is used when Jai and Vijay offended the four Kumaras, and they were so-called cursed. Then Helanam is used when Dhruva Maharaj was killing all the Yakshas. Brahmaji came and said, actually, you're committing an offense to Kuver, who is the brother of Shiva, and to Lord Shiva, because these Yakshas are actually elevated souls who are the servants of Kuvera. So, and then Kardama Muni, he also considered that he was committing offense because he had welcomed the Lord as his own son, but actually he was in the degraded Grihastha life. So helinam, committing an offense, can also be seen as receiving a benediction when one gets cursed. So that was why, whether it's a curse or whether it's a blessing, both are blessings according to the Supreme Lord. So when Brahma originally cursed his son Narada to take birth as a Gandharva, and then to take birth as a Sudra, that was to purify him so that he could understand that actually the greatest blessing is to serve the spiritual master. And whatever the spiritual master instructs us, if we want to make spiritual advancement, we simply have to follow those instructions. So Brahmaji, being the father or the spiritual master of Narada Muni, he so-called cursed his son, just like sometimes the father slaps or punishes the son. He cursed his son, he punished his son, so that he could again come back in a humble situation and be reinstated again as Narada Muni. So both curses and blessings, just like when Nrisingadev was killed by when Nrisingadev killed Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj, he asked for, didn't want any benedictions, but all he asked that, please liberate my father from all of his sins. And Nrisingadev said that simply because you're a pure devotee, not only your father, but 21 generations will all be liberated from all their sinful activities. So we should not go out of our way to offend, but if by chance we do offend, and we do get a reaction for that offense, we can see that as a special blessing from the Supreme Lord, because by suffering that reaction, we'll get purified and eventually be able to come back to the lotus feet of our spiritual master. And that's why we always have to be very careful not to offend the devotees of the Lord, because that helanam, that offense, is what is going to cause us to not make advancement in spiritual life. Does that answer your question? Okay. Yes, Prabhu.
So what will we see in the previous life of Pandavas and Guru Maharaj and Balar Maharaj? So I cannot understand how they were initiated by Narada Muni or by Krishna. Pandavas, well, how they were initiated? When initiation is initiation, then how did they get initiation?
Initiation means receiving the Krishna mantra, a mantra of the Supreme Lord from the Guru. So Dhruva Maharaj, he received the mantra Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya from Narada Muni. That was his initiation. And so far as the Pandavas are concerned, their guru was Vyasadeva, Srila Vyasadeva, and he instructed them in so many ways, and Krishna personally instructed Arjuna. So initiation, in that sense, I don't know about a formal initiation of the Pandavas, I can look it up, but they were definitely, because they were so dear to the Supreme Lord, he personally lived with them, so we can assume that they had a spiritual master that was Srila Vyasadeva, and when he gave them a mantra, I don't know. I'll look it up for you, okay? Any great devotee, they all have spiritual masters. You can name any devotee, and they'll all have a spiritual master.
And how about the Parvas, Duryodhana, and others? How about the Parvas, Duryodhana, and
who?
Duryodhana, and his other brothers. How did they get initiation, or how they were? He was Sadhguru Balram. He got instruction from Balram. So whether Balram had initiated him or clarify something maybe.
Well, as for the Kauravas, I don't even know that they wanted initiation. they did have a guru, their guru of the Dhanurveda, His name was Dronacharya and Kripacharya, both of them. So there are different types of gurus. Vaishnav guru gives the mantra, the Krishna mantra. So there might be different types of gurus. So that's the only guru, those are the only two gurus that I heard that the Kauravas had. Again, we can, because we have the Srimad Bhagavatam. I don't remember reading anywhere that the Kauravas were initiated by a guru other than Dronacharya and Kripacharya. Okay? Yes, Prabhu.
At the International Leadership Conference in Mayapur last year, Bhanu Maharaj was asked to give a seminar on initiation. And from Srila Prabhupada's books, he has shown how Srila Prabhupada refers to initiation in about 6 or 8 different ways.
Yes.
So we have a particular format, a particular ceremony in which we conduct initiation. But from things that Srila Prabhupada actually said himself, he has quoted 6 or 8 different types of initiation. It was a very, very interesting seminar, especially for our preaching and so on. And I asked Maharaj if it was possible to get a copy of the slides and the presentation that he did. He said yes. He sent me a copy of the whole presentation that he did on initiation, and I would be very happy to send a copy of that to you so that you can understand Bhanu Maharaj's explanation of different types of initiation. So then we can understand when Devashakti Mataji is saying he was initiated, it's not that they had the same ceremony that we have today, but there is different.
I was speaking.
Interpretations of the word initiation.
Srila Prabhupada explains these 3 different types of initiation in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I was simply describing how Prabhupada described initiation. If there are other types of initiation that Bhanu Maharaj has found, that's wonderful, but 8? 6? 8. Okay. I was just describing the way Prabhupada described it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for sharing your first experience with Srila Prabhupada. It was very heartwarming. Mataji, my question is that it's a very often, very common instruction that we should chant more in Chatur Mas, as well as
in
different occasions. However, one has a lot of service, and you have a lot of passion of service, and you're able to do 16 rounds, whatever you can, but you don't have enough time to chant, setting a particular place for dedication. So you don't have, let's say, more time to chant sitting at one place because you've got a lot of service. So connected with this one, you have a lot of service. So how do you balance with this necessity to chant more in Chatur Mas festivals vis-a-vis the service you've got? So if you could share something on that.
Are you initiated?
Not yet.
Not yet, okay. So at the time of initiation, you'll take a vow to chant minimum 16 rounds. Are you chanting 16 rounds yet?
Yes.
Yes, wonderful. So I hope you take initiation soon. So once you take a vow to chant minimum 16 rounds, so long as you can chant those 16 rounds, Prabhupada's satisfied. If one is fortunate enough to develop a taste for chanting Hare Krishna, then naturally, one automatically, without any rules and regulations or any force, one automatically gives up 4 things. They give up eating, they give up sleeping, they give up mating, and they give up defending themselves. That's because they're so absorbed in increasing their chanting of Hare Krishna that they find time that, let me skip prasadam, let me sleep a little less, I don't have to go home tonight, you know, I'll stay in the temple and chant. They want to chant more. And the way they find time to chant more is to find ways to give up those four activities. No one's saying to give up service. It's those four activities that are naturally, not artificially given up when one develops a taste for chanting Hare Krishna. Okay? All right, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.